It's time for the Famous Anime Podcast. Tonight's arbiters of fame are Anthony.
Hello.
Lewis.
Hello.
And me, Brian. On today's show, we are once again going to decide which anime based on light novels are worthy of the term famous. We will first discuss all the shows and any arguments for their fame before voting at the end of the show. We can then pick up to four that we think deserve to enter the Famous Anime Podcast's Hall of Anime Fame. Any show that gets two votes is in. You do not have to pick four. If you think only three, two, one, or none deserve it, vote accordingly. If a show does not enter this time, it still has a chance if it crops up on a later podcast topic. But if it fails four times, it is out. Though I think a lot of these shows aren't going to show up on any other topics, because some of these are really hard to find the information out about them. But we start 1991, Luna Varga. Toru Akitsu is the novelist this time around, with Hiroshi Arrow, the artist of the original novels. This picks up the baton from Lodos War. It's another fantasy anime light novel combination. And there was also a tabletop RPG. And this is a fantasy kingdom about a princess who can summon Godzilla out of her bum.
Eh?
What rating was this?
Did it come out over here? I know there was trailers for it on ADV stuff in the 90s. So I was familiar with it, but I've never seen the actual thing.
See, I've heard the title. I've heard.
Yes, I don't know why she's got... She like has a dragon's tail, but then in certain conditions, this basically what can only be described as a knockoff Godzilla is attached to her bottom. So I assume it comes out tail first.
Okay. It looks a little lewd, actually. It's I'm looking at pictures on Google now, and she's lifting her skirt up, and it's...
Well, she's got to let that dragon out.
Guess so.
It may well be a little lewd, because I was looking up the novelist, and I think he pretty much says that I can't get published anymore, so therefore I have to put out Doujin instead.
Oh.
The plus for this is I've heard of it.
Yes, I've heard the name.
And yeah. I've seen some animation footage of it. Which is a big plus compared to most things in this list. I'm curious as to watch it. I mean, I rewatched the opening credits again today, and I think I might like it if I watched it. But maybe it only holds up for like the first episode or something. It looks very silly.
And it feels like an idea that would work really, really well as an American cartoon.
Yes. Yeah, this ran for four episodes in 1991. Had music by Kenji Kawai. But then he's done a lot of notable things and also a lot of trash. So.
Which one would this be?
I'm going to guess trash. But it might be entertaining. Yeah. Trash. I'm not sure it's famous trash, though. But I'm going to say it's more famous than our next thing on the list. The Skull Superwoman Corps. So, Tadaaki Kikuchi wrote the light novel. I looked him up. He'd been involved in a lot of novelizations of Go Nagai work, particularly God Mazinger, which apparently had multiple volumes of novelizations. He also did the novelization for Project Aiko 2. And there is a write-up of this on Anime News Network in one of Mike Tall's columns where he does compare it to the original Project Aiko. It's about three schoolgirls who have psychic powers, fighting bad guys, which seems to might also involve a dragon by the looks of things on the cover. And
dragons
cultists,
are in.
And possibly an evil schoolgirl and an evil schoolboy.
No, that evil schoolgirl is going to be a plant. It's going to be, you know... From the evil organisation, dress up as a schoolgirl. For sure.
Yeah, I think you can find this online in parts, but not subbed or dubbed or anything.
How many episodes did you say this was?
I think it's just the one.
Ah, well. Well. It says it all, really.
I could be wrong, but I think it's just the one. Yeah, so I would say this is possibly the least famous thing we're going to talk about. No, there might be something else. No, this is the least famous thing, I think, because I think the other stuff have got at least more famous as light novels, if not anime.
Mm.
Then we got The Weathering Continent, 1992, movie adaptation of a tiny portion of Sei Takagawa's lengthy light novel series. Like Lodoss Wall, this also was in Dragon magazine. Well, I remember when I was getting VHS fan subs, this was definitely a title that people talked about.
Is VHS fan sub, are we talking about the kind of time where people would buy the equipment to fan sub themselves, or they worked with the facilities to fan sub stuff and would stay late through that?
I think they would buy it, as far as I know. It wasn't too difficult because you could run it off an Amiga, I do believe.
Sorry, what?
A lot of the fan sub software was running off Amigas early on.
Okay, I'm going to have to look into that separately. That sounds quite interesting.
I think it was Amigas, if I'm right, yeah. Yeah, so I think because this was like a rare sword and sorcery type fantasy novel, I think it takes place in Atlantis or something like that before it sunk. And it's got same character designer as Record of Lodoss War, Nobuteru Yuki, doing those character designs.
It looks good.
The character designs look good. I've never heard of it, but the character designs look decent.
Like some of the stills I've found, I think it looks good. Like way more, not like super recent, but a 1992. It looks better than that. I could be wrong if I saw it in motion, but it looks better than 92.
Yeah, I've not seen it. In part because it is a fantasy. It is a fantasy sword and sorcery stuff. Taking itself seriously, whereas I'm happy to watch it when it's Magical Circle, Guruguru or Slayers, but not so interested when people are doing it in a serious mode.
The dude with the giant sword looks awesome.
He does, yeah. He's got good character design. Well, he's a good character designer, is
yeah, Yuki. I guess so. That's a shame. This looks like something that isn't the Berserk of its time.
I don't know what the Berserk of its time is.
I think Berserk was the Berserk of its time.
not
what even... year? Is Berserk like 2004 in the series? No.
No. The TV series is late 90s.
So the manga would be... I'm going to Google it.
I meant the series. 1989.
Yes.
The
so
manga.
Indeed.
Unbelievable. No.
Berserk would be the Berserk of its time.
I meant more the original series, but I did not know the manga was that old.
Mm.
That's
wow. A friend of ours once joked that the Berserk manga releases two chapters a year, and it's heading towards it. Cause I don't know when I last read it.
That's unbelievable.
Dark Horse have got one of the novels coming out to tide you over.
I wish I could just buy it digitally. Wait, well, why can't I buy it digitally?
What, the original series? Or the,
manga.
That's a good point, I don't know.
Because
I think we've looked before that it wasn't on Dark Horse's app, was it?
True.
We found Astro Boy, but we didn't find that.
It annoys me, that. It's one of the things that keeps me up at night. Because I've got a few of them on like a hard version.
Lies, you go to bed at 10 every night and sleep through.
I have night terrors. Not over this, but...
Griffiths, no!
I would love to buy this digitally.
It's Night Terrors over a Hunter x Hunter hiatuses.
Getting stressed.
Rumours. I think there's rumours that the anime for that's coming back.
Oh,
in some form. Well, there's enough to do 13 episodes.
That's fine by me.
They could do everything up to the point when the ship sets sail.
I jumped off the manga, I finished the anime and then jumped onto the manga, and then I jumped out of it at a certain point where they use someone to do something. It got a bit weird, so I should maybe catch back up on the anime. So if they do another one, I'll watch it.
Oh, I would watch that, yeah, with bells on. I'll be there.
Right, next up, The Earring of Moonlight, which I'm not even sure is the correct translation, but that's the English translation. I think the English translation of the French translation.
No.
So this is another Hitomi Fujimoto novel. We talked about the manga artist Marina novels in our last famous anime podcast. Apparently this is set in the same universe. It was tricky to find a plot synopsis. As best as I can tell, a girl accidentally exposes three of her friends to a curse laid on some earrings that turn them into a werehawk, a werecat, and a werewolf.
I've never heard the term werehawk before.
That's cool.
And you can watch it all in Italian on YouTube. If you know Italian, you may be able to figure out more.
Second language.
Doesn't YouTube have the auto-translate thing though?
Depends if someone's...
No. So he's got the machine...
YouTube
uses machine learning. You can watch anything and you can put them on. Now, they'll be spot on for some things. And then they'll be talking about, would you like a cup of ramen with your random box of bolts, sir? it just kind of... It goes off on one a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the automatic subtitling goes up Missy's words. So... I'm sure
it's better than nothing sometimes, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's a case of if you really want to watch this,
or if you've really got a really bad idea for an anime con panel to do at some point, you can find a notorious manga video dub, set the automatic subtitles on, and then get an app which lets you download those subtitles because you want to do a read through of a bad manga video script.
Has this happened?
No, it hasn't happened, but I'm part...
No, way, it sounds like it's a plan.
I'm part way through transcribing episode one of Madball.
Wow.
One day...
I don't want to ask why.
I just told you why.
So yeah, but watch, so are we going to do a run of it in characters?
So we could perform it, yes. Either as a
How many characters? Are you going to get the audience into it?
I don't know, we may do it as a podcast first to see how it works. As we tend
audience
to
are risky. Don't
I'm
trust
up for
the
that.
Audience.
And if you can get Greg up for it as well.
Wow, that's some killer voice acting. I'm getting character now.
Your high-pitched voice.
Yeah, look,
I could do any voice.
I think on the Italian dub, they tried to tie it into the manga artist Marina anime, because that was about her going to Camelot, and this Italian title they've given it has Camelot in the title. And I don't think they actually go to Camelot in this.
I've been, as Saskia's doing the same. I'm Googling images of these series as we're talking about them. There's maybe one or two characters that look like they're from this. There's a bunch of pictures of earrings and there's a bunch of Sailor Moon art.
it might look similar because I think it is a shoujo novel and the characters are all very shoujo designed on the novels. But the novels have got a very different title to The Earring and Moonlight. And I believe this anime does if you took the Japanese and translated it. The Italian synopsis also mentioned about going to Germany, but I was like, did they actually go to Germany in the show, or have they changed it to Germany because Italy's near Germany and they're pretending this takes place in Italy?
Sounds about right.
Just don't know. Next up, more stuff it was difficult to find stuff about. Heyo no Tsurugi Shikoku no Masho. Her eyes brought the force back to the legendary sword, apparently, according to this CD cover I found. Tamako Maeda wrote the novel series. It is still ongoing. It's currently on part 6, which has 30 volumes just in part 6 alone.
Wow.
It's about a demon hunter and her bloodthirsty sword, though... I looked at the synopsis, which mentioned the blood... I think it's on Anime News Network. Mentions the Bloodthirsty Sword's got a name, but when I look at cast list, there's no name... It's not like a talking sword. But also, she has two names on cast lists, which makes me wonder whether she's got a split personality, and that's the thing, which is bloodthirsty, not a sword.
It sounds really good.
It
sounds quite good.
Yeah, I've never.
I like the premise. I think it sounds.
It's got quite a low score on ANN. I've just googled it.
We heard what they said about the boy and the beast. Can't be trusted.
Do you know, this is almost a Google whack.
Oh, there's one image of it.
Yeah, it's different because I was looking up. Oh, what? Because when you run it through Google Translate, it does some very weird things with the translation. I think that's because the "heyo" bit is a phrase they may have created themselves. Because it comes out like Sword of the Gangster or something.
See, this is one of those shows that someone shows up to a convention in as a cosplayer and say, oh, what are you cosplaying as? Oh, I'm cosplaying from Hey No Tsurugi. It's like, right, okay, what's that about? You never heard of it?
I like the premise. I know we don't base the fame on that, but I think it sounds pretty good.
The anime character design is so different to the character design which appears on the covers of all the novels, though.
I mean, one that you've got there on the images, is that from the CD, you said?
That's CD? Yeah, that's kind of the anime character design.
Okay, look at the size of her head, look at the size of her hand, and then look at the rest of her body. She's got a massive head.
It looks fine. I think it looks really good. It
looks fine for an anime character.
No.
It's a bit slow.
Mr. Realism. I think it looks okay.
Look at the size of her arm compared to her neck.
She has a long neck. It's elegant.
She's got a thick neck.
A long... It's like a sword.
She's meant to be like a sword. Has to support that massive hair she's got.
Okay, we've scienced it out.
Bloodthirsty hair. I would watch this. Or certainly, I want to see how badass she is.
You wouldn't watch this.
I would. I mean, I wouldn't watch the... If they did that premise... Perhaps more recent. Maybe I should just have a quick look at the manga and see if she's badass or not. See what kind of demon she's...
Light novels.
She's like. Everyone
light novel, of course.
Anthony's
yeah.
going to do about 2 minutes of Googling, 30 seconds of YouTubing, and he's going to move swiftly on. There's much better stuff we've recommended.
I know. You're right. I need to be avoiding the... I just think it sounds cool.
Next up, it's Tinkerbell After School from 1992. Part of the After School Humor Mystery Series by Shinichiro Hyuga. High school detectives do some detecting into crime, as long as it isn't a murder. Because apparently only the first book, Tom Sawyer After School, has a murder.
Wow.
Then after that, maybe they decided, maybe we shouldn't be selling children books about murder. And then Detective Conan said...
Hold on a second.
Yeah, hold on, there's a niche in the market here.
Why did I Google that? Why or why did I Google? I'm on a list for Googling that.
I was going to say, Conan? Yes, if you look for Tinkerbell After School, you'll just find loads of after school places called Tinkerbell.
I've got a Japanese, I don't know, looks like boy band on a TV show kind of thing, and then it goes into Disney, and then the Disney cartoon, and sweets. I'm on a list.
Okay.
Yeah. Google alarms are going off in the office now. This guy's a creep.
This got one OAV. And there is a write-up of it on Anime News Network in that... not in the Buried Treasure one, the other side of it.
Is it positive?
I think they said it was humorous enough, but it's nothing you should seek out.
Okay.
Oh, hang on. Google's come up with a treasure... Tinkerbell and the Lost Treasure Nintendo DS game with Wi-Fi support.
Just in case you and all your mates want to play it together.
Street Pass.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not too keen on this premise.
I've not heard of it. Yeah, it's not, I don't know.
No, I've definitely not heard of it until this point. The writer has like another series of humor mystery books as well, which are all based around Western astrological signs. Which apparently has some crossover with this, but that did not get an anime.
When you say the astrological sign, do you mean like horoscopy signs?
That's the thing, yes.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to catch you. I was just curious.
Then we got Irresponsible Captain Tyler in 1993 on TV, based on the light novel The Most Irresponsible Man in Space by Hitoshi Yoshioka. Who came up through a cartoon study group and he was writing movie novelizations.
Apologies, you might be getting fireworks in the background of my noise.
Okay, well, that's added bonus for the listener.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant that anime film. Yeah.
So this is directed by Koichi Mishimo, who did Dirty Pair, that we mentioned on the previous one of these. I also forgot to mention he also did... I believe he did The Weathering Continent as well.
Ah, see? It's got pedigree.
Yeah, and as people will say, and I probably agree with them, this is the last good thing he did.
This is really, really good. I love Captain Tyler. It's one of my favorite
really?
Shows.
I've never seen it.
So, I want to go into the notes Brian's got on the document here because I didn't realize there was more stuff. But you can't tell if he's a complete idiot or an absolute genius. Have you seen all of this, Brian?
I have. It's one of those weird ones where I've seen the start and the end, and I haven't seen the middle.
So, I kind of want people to go and watch it, but I don't want to spoil too much. But basically, he's a bumbling guy on Earth, and he's just kind of like, oh, he's a drunkard. Okay, I'm going to go into the army. It seems like an easy way to get 3 square meals a day and get paid for it. And he makes his way in. He just somehow bumbles his way through the ranks. And he just does the kind of stuff that normally people would get kicked down and booted for, but it works out every time. And that's like the theme of the show. And you just can't tell if he's an idiot or if he just knows enough to be able to act an idiot and get away with it. It really does work well. I watched all of it when I used to go to LANMA, the Leicester Anime Club. I can't remember the full name for it. I really enjoyed this. What I didn't enjoy was the recent remake, which is complete and utter, and just insert tons of beeps here. It's crap. It really
is. It's not a remake. It's a sequel.
It's nothing.
It's nothing.
I rarely dismiss stuff, but that needs really dismissing. But
it looks like a lot of fun.
I've watched 26 episode format. It's good. It is good. And the last episode's almost perfect. I didn't notice 10 OVAs and 12.
The 12's the spin-off that you just saw, The Irresponsible Galaxy Tyler.
Oh, yeah, no, that go away. I didn't know it was 10 OVAs. I don't know if that's a retelling or what.
Let me have a look-see exactly what they are.
I've seen the character before, but other than that, never really heard of it.
He plays people off by confusing them.
With his own stupidity, or
yeah, so they can't ever tell if he's a genius and that they're being played by him or whatever, but everyone overestimates him. But as a result, it's the things that everyone else does off the back of his actions. And it's kind of only towards the end you actually realize that he might be the kind of smart guy that they've hinted that he isn't. And it's a good fun one. It's just it's a classic. And which was a complete shame when they did this spin-off, and it's based on his son or something like that. It's complete, absolute.
I think it's like a very long distant descendant.
Oh, grandson or something, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might be even further than that. But yeah, so it's a sequel, the OVAs are. Coming out in America on Blu-ray in 2018.
Ooh.
Lewis is going to be first in queue, by the sounds of it.
Well, if they exist, I might get them sooner. So
they may already exist. This is an item from... when is this from? This is from July. So.
Mm. Yeah. And what's the overall plot? I get that he's an idiot, but...
There's a war between an alien empire and
okay, the
United Planets.
Yeah, I'm snoozing off.
You need to watch them. I'd say watch, if you can, on the ask you list of stuff you're never going to watch, watch the first episode.
I mean, I like the look of the main character. I think he looks, and from what I can tell from the screenshot, it looks like a hoot. But whether the humour appeals to me, that's a different kettle of fish.
Justin Yuki Tyler.
But that wasn't it for 1993 and Hitoshi Yoshioka. He had another thing coming out that year, an OVA adaptation of his novel about a privatised Air Force's use of idols as fighter pilots. Idol Defence Corps Hummingbird.
Now we talk.
Is this more about that there's so many idols in Japan that they may as well get some as pilots and just get rid of them?
It got a UK release from Western Connection. I did not see it, though, so I can't say exactly what the plot is. Or maybe it was a way of doing a Macross thing of having fighter pilot action and songs in the same anime.
Worth a try.
I thought it was a dig at the idol culture.
Maybe they didn't have it back then. Oh, they did, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the first lot of idol anime, only in the 70s, but the first lot of idol anime is in the 80s.
Because Netflix have got that show coming out close to Christmas called Idol. And it's literally about the idol thing. And the whole idol thing is kind of amazing to me because I don't get the thing of worshipping someone. This is tangent from this show, really. But yeah, the whole idol thing amazes me that people kind of worship the ground that someone walks on.
Yeah. Now, the culture around idols has changed, I would say. Because
In which way?
Well, so the idol anime in the 80s is very much aimed... So if it's a bunch of girls singing, it's aimed at young girls as the audience. Not creepy old men as the
audience. Oh, so you're saying it's got a bit darker?
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe they realised they can... I'm sure those people were around then. It's just necessarily in the marketing they weren't being pandered to.
See, I think... Oh, I'd have to check this trailer, but it amazes me because of this Netflix film that's come out. It says something like there's 50,000 idols in Japan trying to make it and crawling over one another. So there's something in my head going, oh, there's all these idols. It's going, what can we do with them? Let's put them in planes. They're expendable.
So is this Netflix thing a documentary?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Dirty Pair are based on the idol wrestlers, the Beauty Pair. So they were a tag team of wrestlers, but they also put records out and were marketed. But at that time, women's wrestling was marketed primarily to high school girls. It wasn't. You were looked as a weirdo if you were a man and went to a women's wrestling show. And that happened again in the 80s with the Crush Gals, who were even bigger.
And that's a Crusher Joe reference.
No, it's not a Crusher Joe reference. It's my pet peeve about that anime encyclopedia. I know. Can't be, unless they travel back in time.
And Lewis, you say you don't idolise it. You're a big Jeremy Clarkson fan.
No, I'm a fan of his
work. He's your A number one.
I'm a fan of people's work. It's only in the... Okay, so in the past couple of years, is the only point I've actually started to meet celebrities and people that, like, paid professionals in that regard. Mm. And I enjoy their work, and I'm interested into how they do things.
Yeah.
But I don't idolise them as such. So I would never meet someone and think, you can't talk to him like that. He's Jeremy Clarkson. No, I always think, okay, I like their work, and I could be amazed by what they've achieved and what they've done. But not to the extent of I'd do anything if they asked me, which is the whole, I don't know, that part of idol and celebrity amazes me.
I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about that Gene Simmons vault experience. And I was like, I'm not a fan of anything. Because they were talking about how it's understandable if you're that big a fan that you'd be willing to pay the ridiculous fees.
What's the vault? Oh, is that? It's some big thing.
Explain for me and anyone listening that's not aware of it.
Okay, so he's releasing a box set of unreleased Gene Simmons material. 150 unreleased songs from Gene Simmons. If you want it, there's these various different packages you can get. And I'm going to have to put this on mute because he's going to start talking to me before I continue to Gene Simmons. So you've got... These are your prices. You can have the Gene Simmons Vault Experience, a one-on-one meeting with the ultimate rock icon, his words, $2,000.
Whoa!
Click here for the other experiences. The Producer Experience. The price isn't there anymore. I think that one's...
Sold out.
I think that's like $25,000.
Jeez, and what impact would you have? Like, do you get to say whether... something happens with the product? I don't know.
You and a guest will spend an intimate hour in a recording studio with Gene listening to tracks from the vault. Your name will appear as an executive producer on the vault. You are guaranteed a low-numbered vault of the first 500 sold.
Which comes with one of the worst-looking figures I've ever seen.
You get a Gene photo video autograph session. He hand-delivers your limited-edition personalised vault. And you get the pre-pack, signed golden ticket, T-shirt, download card, and laminate. Now, for At Your Party, which I think is $50,000. Again, the price isn't here, but I'm sure the price is out there.
So they're still going up. They're still bigger experiences.
Yeah. You can host Gene in your home. You and your 25 guests will spend an intimate 2 hours with Gene.
2 hours!
You get songs and stories playback session and Q&A in your home. You are guaranteed a low-numbered vault within the first 300 this time. Mm-hmm. You get the photo, video, autograph session, hand-delivered vault, pre-pack, and each guest will receive a T-shirt and laminate.
I don't get this stuff. I literally do not get this stuff. And it's like there's people that I know that go to expos. And, okay, I actually semi-understand if you want to get an autograph from someone and meet them and have the 2 minutes or whatever. But there's two things I don't get. First thing I don't get is if you idolize someone, saying to them, I love this film, so I'm a massive Keanu Reeves fan. But if I ever met Keanu Reeves, I would never say to him, I love the bit in The Matrix when you did this, wasn't it awesome? I went, yeah, I did it, I know. You know, that bit doesn't make sense to me. And the other thing is like to say, right, carbon copy this experience I've paid $25 or $25,000 for, and cut me out and put anyone else in. It's anyone else. I think if you meet a celebrity, I think what's cool is if you end up chatting about something and it's completely by chance and you end up having a connection like you would with them with anyone else, because it shows that they're just human. But I think a lot of people elevate celebrities to be above it.
Yeah,
so they elevate the whole kind of thing, which is where the whole idol thing comes from. These perfect girls, and it's crazy to me.
I think some of that's also on the celebrity on the meet and greet situation. I think there's a onus. If you've paid money, there's an onus on them to be at least a degree of interaction. rather than look bored, because I've paid for meet and greets at wrestling shows, but that's more to get in so I can get to the merchandise stand before everything's sold out.
But that makes, to an extent, that makes sense, because of you might just want to say, oh, by the way, and you might have a question that you want to ask, yes, that 20 seconds, you'll never get answered otherwise, and say, by the way, did you really hurt your knee on that, or what did you think of this? And you get your answer, and, you know, that's cool. You get that thing that you were looking for. But I think Anthony actually messaged me a while back. There was an Arnold Schwarzenegger dinner, and it was like, how much was it?
I actually wanted to go, but I couldn't. Yeah. There was different tier pricing, and it was essentially a room, like wining and dining with Arnold Schwarzenegger, like a full room, 250, 300 people. I think it was like £180 or £120 a person, and it meant you got a brief chat with him, and he would basically entertain, tell stories on stage, and then every sits down has a meal. And the tiers went up. I think actually the cheapest might have been £80, and I was very tempted, me and a friend, but I was at Leeds Film Festival the weekend.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's why, because I was going to go otherwise. I would have tried to book in. Yeah, you've got to remember though, people, £25,000 for some people is nothing. Like the some rich people are very rich.
Yes, I remember. A guy I used to work with, he knew a super Star Trek fan, mm-hmm. and he'd paid to have a custom made Starship Enterprise, which he had in the hallway of his mansion.
Wow!
Which cost £12,000 to be built by him. And then it cost £12,000, but you couldn't switch the lights on, otherwise it would melt the plastic.
God.
So I think there's also a lot when you, from what I know more about, like he was a super hardcore Thunderbirds fan and other things, but mainly Thunderbirds. But you'd hear stories of him, of like things like that, of professional prop makers can earn a fair bit of money by milking really rich science fiction fans,
yeah.
by overcharging them for props.
Just
West
shows you if the money's there, that there will be people willing to pay for it.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Oh, I think you've been with us, probably AMEO6. I think you was with the group of people we were with at the time. And we hung out with Greg Ayres. Was you around with that?
I can't remember. Maybes.
Yeah, it was just, I just find it interesting. Like we, I don't know, well, the whole idol thing's always been a thing that interests me, really, because of... I'm massively interested in celebrity, but I think there's an interesting thing where I think there's a difference between when someone wants to meet someone and when someone puts someone on a massive pedestal.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd be more
you
interested...
should look at the history of celebrities, like back in like the Roman times. Like it stems back really far, the celebrity icon thing. It's interesting.
Guys, I'm grabbing the steering wheel of this podcast and steering it.
Yeah, go for it.
Back to...
I'd be more interested in seeing Kiss as fighter pilots than...
So has anyone heard of this series before this? Because I have.
Yes, because it got released in the UK around the time I was buying loads of VHS tapes.
I'm still laughing about the vault. Why don't we do a Dynamite in the Brain vault?
We could.
50 pence.
We got one thing in it. No, two things. We've got that one pre-con episode where I decided we were far too negative and I shouldn't release it. And we re-recorded it. And then, of course, we've got the other episode.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Which has come close to being released. I'm now erring
I'm
back.
Still in.
I'm now swinging back towards... We've swung on... Anthony wanted to release it. I did not want to release it. Then when I was going to release it, Anthony didn't want to release it.
Whereas I'm keen now.
And now I'm swinging back towards not wanting to release it.
And I kind of want to see it happen.
One of these days. I should hide it on the site and see if someone can find it.
Yeah.
But that's not all. There's yet more Hitoshi Yoshioka this year in 1993. Suikoden Demon Century, which I'm guessing from this cover scan came out in the UK from ADV, based on the font. Knife, sword, gun. The deadliest weapon of all is the human animal. One young mercenary and a handful of street fighters against the crime syndicate that rules the remains of Tokyo. So this is a modern day take on The Water Margin, which got an OVA. And I say apparently came out in the UK. I think I've heard of it. I don't know. I didn't know even what it looked like. I don't think I ever saw it in a shop.
I think the same. I kind of want to jump on the bandwagon of The Water Margin more than this, because I've seen the first couple episodes of that and I thought it was all right. I've not heard of it. I know the name. I think that's probably where I can get to. But Suikoden's also a fighting game on the PlayStation.
It's a role-playing game.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shows why I know. Shows why I know.
I sold it. I should not have sold it for the price
with
I sold
a
it
for.
I know. I know. I sold it for
silly
10.
Money.
I traded
silly
it in for 10 pounds, Anthony.
Which one? Which number?
The first one.
How much is that? It's going to be worth a lot of money now.
The PlayStation 1, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't look. I mean, I got a load of money for the other things, though, which I did sell on eBay. Mm. But yeah, that was the one when I was going through my collection and skimming it off, and I was like, I was looking at prices, and I was like, oh, I should not have traded that in for...
£212.
Fucking hell, man.
There you go. That's the lowest price.
Gran Turismo 2 was not worth it. I'm pretty sure Gran Turismo 2 is what I traded it for.
Oh, no. There's an eBay auction for £53 at the moment, so if you delay this by 17 hours on release, which I'm sure you will, you could win it for 54.
Yeah, some of them are a lot cheaper. There's one £300, mint collection. Yeah. Either way, tenner, yeah. Oh, well, you learn for the future.
I think it was worth more than 10 then, though, as well. I think the people at Game saw me coming.
Probably.
Their eyes probably lit up. And yeah, I'll try that for tenner and then probably put it aside for themselves.
Oh, yeah, under the counter dealings.
Yeah. Righty-ho. Yeah, not much more to add about that, because I'm just curious when it came out, because I feel like I would have seen it, but maybe not.
The human animal. Wow.
Describe yourself as that from now on.
I don't want to.
Next up, Fortune Quest from 1993. Michio Fukuzawa created the novels. Natsumi Mukai provided the illustrations. It's had multi-tap SNES and PlayStation games that, as I was writing this, I was curious about because they were described as table games. Turns out what they are board games as console games.
Okay.
They appear to be roll and move ones as well. But they have like... The first one looked a bit like... Have you played the Dragon Ball mobile game? Where you
Which one?
I don't know if there's more than one. The one where you move around a map and get the training cards.
With the balls?
You roll three dice and you pick which one you want to do and then move that far along the map.
I had it for a bit.
Yeah, I had it for a bit. And then it was like I'd seen like everybody, so I was like, I'm not playing this anymore. I think it was like
I didn't even get that far into it.
I think I played it for 3 months and I realised after 3 months it started rolling around the same event characters again. I was like, oh, this is rubbish.
I got rid of it because it kept updating and it kept giving me notifications for stuff whilst I was working.
Yeah. My question, though, is did the dice have, like, Dragon Ball stars? And the Dragon Balls as their numbers?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure they were orange at the very least.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Whereas the second one looked more complicated than that. It looked like you were buying areas a bit like Monopoly. Neither of them looked like good games. You can see videos of them on YouTube. But and there was a real-world tabletop RPG as well. And
did some things, huh?
Notice that Fukuzawa, she came up through technical writing. I think she was writing like video game manuals at one point, which may have led into this. And this is Fortune Quest I've definitely heard of. I've never seen any of the anime. And Fortune Quest is still ongoing today, the novel series and everything else. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, is this a case of a famous property that might be considered famous, but the anime itself is like a very small part of it. It had a 4-episode OVA in 93, and then it was followed by a 26-episode TV series in 97. But anything could get made into a TV series in 97. Have you guys heard of Fortune Quest at all?
Oh, I have not.
I'm so happy that Captain Tyler's been on this podcast.
I was going to say,
I feel like I've actually had some weight.
And I'm not even sure Captain Tyler qualifies as famous either.
I think it does.
I mean, yeah, it got that sequel TV show. It's a terrible TV show, but it did get that in 2017, so it does give it some name value.
I think we're going to have to go to some of the B-roll.
Well, we've got one more thing to talk about. One more thing to talk about, and that is Ocean Waves from 1993. And this is the campus novel that I mentioned on the last famous anime podcast, the only one I could find. And then when I looked at the synopsis, I was like, this isn't really a campus novel either. It starts at college, but then most of it is a flashback to high school. It is the Studio Ghibli TV movie, Ocean Waves. There's a novel written by Sayoko Himuro, illustrated by Katsuya Kondo, who did the character design for the film. But the dates of them makes me think that they were done simultaneously, so it's not so much a adaptation either. If the dates are true on Wikipedia, it looks more like one of these multimedia type things. It's like, we've got a novel, we've got a movie, we're going to put them out at the same time. And it involves a man spotting a woman at a train station that takes him into wistful memories of his school days two years prior.
Aww.
I have not seen this. This is one of those Ghibli ones I've not seen.
Yeah, I've heard the title, but yeah.
Has it been?
Would this have been in HMV?
That is the question. I know it's coming out in America soon. But yeah, it's out already over here. Yeah, I've seen the UK cover in Tesco's.
I maybe recognise the title. I maybe recognise the image, but I've not seen it.
Yeah, the UK cover is... It's got the girl for...
This period in time is really poorly represented in anime.
Yeah, I'd say, I think the problem is the early 90s, it's got very poor anime in it. So that's why it's poorly represented. You've got a few big things. Obviously, Moomin. We even got that over here in the UK. You've got Hunter, Yu Yu Hakusho, rather. Sailor Moon. It is pretty slim. There's lots of stuff which carried on from the late 80s well into the
late 90s. I was thinking you can't include those because you could, but you've already done them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is specifically light novel stuff, so I should say again, we're pulling most of these off the list from the Japanese Wikipedia page of anime based on light novels. Now, that didn't quite cover everything because it didn't have Tsukuden Demon Century on there. I've discovered that as I was clicking through links on some of the other descriptions. So there's probably stuff we've missed, but if it's not on that list, I suspect it's even more obscure than the stuff we're talking about here, because this stuff's pretty obscure. Now, as we flip to next time we come back, there'll be some stuff which it'll be a bit, the more recognisable names start cropping up. But yeah, as a rule, my feeling is that the early 90s has got some OAVs that you'd recognise, not probably more based on comics than light novels. TV, there's a lot of stuff you wouldn't recognise because it never came over here. And for good reason, it's most of it's terrible. yeah, it's kind of, I think, but obviously there's definitely a sea change once Evangelion comes along, and then you start getting the late night stuff in 97. And you've got the bubbles burst as well, as I mentioned last time, is at this point the economy is in a downturn in Japan, and so there's no more, there isn't the amount of money to funnel into high class anime anymore.
Yeah.
Even if in some cases you weren't supposed to be funneling that money in the first place. Like Kitty Films. That's why Urusei Yatsura looks so good. It's because they weren't supposed to be spending that money on anime. It was supposed to be in the record company. Now it's time to vote, though. Unless you've got any more arguments. I mean, I'm pretty sure I know what I'm voting for.
We can put in as little votes as we want.
You can put in as little votes as you want, yes. It does not have to be four. You can do 0, 2, 4.
Oh, someone's typing up a storm.
Right, I'm going to type mine in, getting ready to...
I'm ready.
Okay. Mine's typed in.
Rightio, hit your enter buttons. And, okay, Lewis voted for Captain Tyler. Anthony voted for nothing. I also voted for nothing. So therefore, nothing goes in.
Damn it.
Some of this stuff might be great. But famous.
Yeah. Captain Tyler might get another chance another day. I don't think anything else here is going to get another chance another day.
This is the first time I've done one of these. I've looked at it and said, crap, I don't recognise any of this.
I figured that was me writing it as well, Lewis, so don't worry. next time on the Famous Anime Podcast, our final light novel rundown.
No.
We will have Slayers.
There's hope in this list.
Sorcerer Hunters. Maze. Space Battleship Yamato Yoko. Saber Marionettes R, J, and J2X.
That always pops up.
Alice SOS. Lost Universe. Sorceress Stabber Orphan. Crest of the Stars. And Gokudo the Adventurer. I was going to say, I think there's...
That's got to be called Famous Anime Podcast, New Hope.
I know some stuff about one thing on there. I know some stuff about more, but there's one thing that
I know things.
People don't realise, but I know stuff.
You know stuff.
I don't want to say what at this stage, but...
I was going to say, yeah, I'm curious as to which one it's going to be.
I didn't know that was the full title for it, though.
Tune in 4 weeks.
Okay, yeah. Well, I know which one it is then now.
How do you know? Because I highlighted the document?
That as well, yes.
Could be highlighting others, though.
Quickly, just runs around highlighting stuff, just in case. Righty-ho, what are we back next week with? We are back next week with Steam Boy. Even though the Blu-ray is going to be late, I've got it on DVD, so we can still do a Steam Boy episode. And it'll be the same release, because they're not doing the uncut version on the Blu-ray either.
I didn't even know there was an uncut version.
Yeah, the dub's got a cut, so if they want to put the dub on, then they've got to put the cut on.
It's a really nasty bit of steam.
Yeah, burn someone's finger.
I have no idea what's cut in there at all. It may be better cut. I know. Can you hear the fireworks my end now?
Yeah.
I can, yeah. I thought it was just a bit
microphone
weird.
Rumble.
Yes. We're going to close this podcast down before it explodes.
Yeah, you're right. It could be a good cut. Not everything that gets cut should be in.
I remember liking Steam Boy.
I remember getting bored very early through.
I was going to think it's only 82 minutes long.
Maybe it was just one of those days. I own it on DVD. Maybe it was just one of the days where I was, why am I watching this? I couldn't be. This was years ago. But I was very excited to watch it and quite disappointed.
Man,
Haybot
has broken me. I typed in Steambot, and all through the week I've been typing the bot and the beast.
obsessed.
We should 126 minutes. I'm on. So it's over 2 hours. Yeah, it could be a little long, Anthony. I don't know why I thought it was 80 something. What am I thinking of? Am I thinking of Angel's Egg again?
A masterpiece that is Angel's Egg.
Oh, I've got that coming up as well.
Yeah.
What is that?
Don't ask. We don't need any more guests. It's the over. The over volunteer.
How many have you got?
Too many.
Too many. Enough.
I think it's three people, isn't it?
Three people. Yes, there'll be five of us on the podcast. Now, me and Anthony have done two podcasts about it already, so therefore we can sit back and let other people tell us what they want.
I'll check it out. I think I can't remember if it conflicts with one of the things I'm doing anyway. So I think I saw when the list came out that it wasn't one that I would. I didn't know about it, but you keep talking about it, so I'm interested.
It's great. I might not agree this time round. But...
Yeah, the plan was to do three. I think we're not going to do it again after this. We'll start watching. What else can we start watching every year instead, Anthony?
Akira.
Yeah.
Toriyama.
Actually, we know that's good. Ninja Scroll.
So the sensible thing for our listeners would hack our way through every single Dragon Ball movie, because that's the thing we've most listened to this year was our.
Is that our Broly one?
Yes.
Ooh.
Lewis bringing the hype.
I think Broly bringing the hype. To be honest.
I'm trying to be kind.
I think my thing about Broly fans being maniacs is borne out.
You could drop the hashtag Broly in this now.
Yeah.
Just do an all Broly all the time podcast. Constantly complaining
Dynamite in the Broly.
About cauliflower and kale.
I was about to say you need kale in a movie, cauliflower, and all sorted.
Spoiler for Anthony. You're spoiling Anthony.
It's only a spoiler if I tell him what it means.
That is true, yes. FRB and John Dragon Ball Super, are you now, Anthony?
I catch up by seeing what people say online, so...
There you go. That's how you do it.
You need to watch it.
I don't know.
It's 20 minutes of hype a week. It's awesome.
Is it? I was thinking about this earlier, how much I used to love Dragon Ball Z, but...
I think it captures everything perfectly. I don't think it did early on. I think they had to get through the two movies. I think that was a mistake. I think they should have lifted and shifted straight from the films.
Well, they've also had some creative changes, staff changes as well. And
I think they're not perfect, but they're very close to awesome at the moment. Very close to as good as I think it can get.
And also Tiger Mask double finished as well, so I guess that freed up some Toei staff to come along.
And they must
be making
hand over fist out of the merch.
Yeah, and still doesn't get as many ratings as One Piece. But both of their ratings are dropping. I think that's not necessarily due to them, it's due to some other changes in things.
Mm.
There's been a bit of a shake-up of weekend mornings. But that's probably a topic for a different podcast. Righty-ho, we'll be back next week with Steam Boy. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks, everyone. Drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.